Damaj is a symbol for the wars that took place between Ansarullah and Takfiri forces in the area. In fact, Damaj was not a seminary used for teaching science and Arabic language, but was a type of garrison where terrorists coming from the four corners of the world gathered under the pretext of learning about religion and language.
They sought to confront Ansarullah, but eventually realized that they were nothing more than bait and not equipped to stand in the face of Ansarullah. So they preferred to withdraw with all their equipment, leaving Damaj populated by only its own residents, even if the remnants were Salafis. Sayyid Abdul Malik sent them a letter to affirm that they were not in danger and were free to practice their ideology and belief, provided they do not attempt to damage the security of the governorate. Using Damaj as a pretext, Takfiri forces came from the Kitaf area to the east of Saada governorate and Al-Malahit, which is located to the west of Saada city in the city of Hajjah, and to the city of Hashid near Houth. They imposed a siege and sought to besiege Saada plus whatever is inside it and terrorize its 1 million strong population. They prevented the entry of food and medicine. Travelers who would enter or leave would be executed by fire squad, which led to the deaths of scores of Saada's children.
كان الناس محاصرين كانت المواد الغذائية تمنع دخولها الأدوية المسافرون يقتلون جاهدوا
جاهدوا Commit to struggle. Do so with your cries, hands, hearts, rifles, with whatever you can. Should there come a day when you are forced to stage a struggle with stone and soil, go ahead and do so.
Popular forces stood in the face of the siege and Ansarullah managed to break it from the direction of the Eastern Front, which was an area in Kitaf. Takfiris have been operating out of there for about 30 years. They then rallied towards the Hashid front. This front experienced defeat and the rest of the Takfiris withdrew from the area towards the city of Amran.
Amran is a governorate neighboring the capital Sana'a. Ansarullah maintains a cultural presence there.
Ansarullah launched a youth revolution and sought to stage peaceful protests, but they were confronted by armed forces and were killed. They then adapted and mounted armed confrontations, which has manifested into a historical saga.
The confrontation which took place in Amran was of great importance and changed the power equation in Yemen.
Withdrawing, the Takfiris took the battle to Jauf, a mountainous region. But despite being backed by Yemeni warplanes, the Takfiris lost the battle there to Ansarullah, who now have control of Amran and much of the surrounding area.
Many people are in a state of shock regarding Ansarullah's capability to pull off these victories against the Takfiris, despite the latter being supported by regional countries and the US. When we achieved success in Radar, the United Nations Security Council and the United States issued a statement of threats against us.
The situation in Sana'a was moving in a direction that held great promise for the presence of Ansarullah in the capital. Everything was progressing to where Ansarullah would be able to generate greater influence and undertake more serious endeavors. The government decided to raise the price of gasoline and fuel, and this action ignited the first spark of public revolt. The price of various essential fuels doubled in an instant, which exerted tremendous pressure upon Yemeni civilians, already suffering from an insufferable economic situation. Initially, Sayyid Abdul Malik asked via the Al-Masira media channel for people to move on the capital city, Sana'a. This motivated the public to set up expansive campsites outside of Sana'a in the areas of Sabaha, Haziz, and near the airport.
In this revolution, people of different ethnicities and religions rallied around Ansarullah and the revolution moved forward in a speedy and organized manner.
ومنظم.
فأعلن أنصار الله تحركاً شعبياً.
Ansarullah announced a popular action and movement in Sana'a, which brought three demands. The first was for the fuel prices to return to their previous rates. The second was for the formation of a popular government by worthy people to take the country out of the present crisis. And the third demand was that national dialogue take place for the next 8 months.
Upon Abdulmalik's invitation, protests would take place in Sana'a every week following Friday prayers. At first, the government would not take this seriously and would think this would meet its end soon enough, as was the case with the previous measures. But Ansarullah had a pre-organized plan. Demands had to be met with patience and perseverance, and of course, in a peaceful way.
Sayyid Abdul Malik said clearly that should the government and its allies take up arms, they would face an armed response.
Ben Omar, the United Nations Special Representative, tasked with calming the situation and finding a political solution, came to Yemen. Ali Mohsen and some of the commanders of the Al-Islah Party rejected any and all political solutions that would acknowledge Ansarullah's demands and place the movement on equal pegging with the other political parties and groups. The killings of some Yemeni civilians by forces who did not want to sit at the negotiation table forced Ansarullah to take up arms. Sayyid Abdul Malik ordered the protection of the protesters against attacks by armed groups, and this meant the onset of armed confrontation.
And their aim in using arms against the people was to instill fear into the protesters and force them to return to their homes.
Then Sayyid Abdul Malik and his Ansarullah, as well as other popular forces, stood in the face of the aggressors.
We only used force to destroy enemies of the revolution and the centers of corruption.
And it is true that these confrontations were limited only to certain areas, but they were very brutal, and the civilians, whom were members of popular committees, attacked the base of the 1st Armored Division and cleared it out. The fall of the Armored Division was the fall of a symbol that had exercised hegemony over Yemen for decades.
The fall of the division, as well as the takeover of the television station and garrison, which defended it, the fall of the Al-Iman Society, which had turned into a military center, and the complete fall of the city of Sana'a in one day.
The revolutionaries managed to take complete control of the situation in Sana'a before the other governorates.
After the fall of the 1st Armored Division and the escape of Ali Mohsen, who is currently in Saudi Arabia, all political parties and related groups knew that the situation had changed and that Ansarullah was now considered the most powerful movement in Yemen.
Everybody was expecting that the fall of Sana'a would be followed by violence similar to what happened in the south, namely plunder, murder, encroachment upon people's property and attacks on banks. By God's grace and thanks to resistance staged by popular forces, however, there were no degrading incidents or material damage.
It is common knowledge in Yemen that any party that holds power in Sana'a makes political decisions. We, however, broke this rule and encouraged and directed everyone towards signing a peace agreement and national participation, which includes all political parties.
The situation in the country calmed after the escape of General Ali Mohsen al-Ahmar to Saudi Arabia. At the end of the day, all political parties and relevant groups, including Ansarullah and the Movement of the South, put their signatures to the document of agreement that had been prepared prior to Sana'a's fall and laid emphasis upon peace, reconciliation, and the participation of all groups in running the country. Not everything went as the Yemenis had expected, however. The Saudis, a regime passed down hereditarily and not by virtue of election, remained afraid of an independent popular government near their borders. As the future showed, they targeted the legitimacy and democracy of the Yemenis under the pretext of preserving what they themselves lacked, and escalated their interference in Yemen's internal affairs in the form of another proxy war to secure the goals of the United States and international Zionism. They are morbidly afraid of having popular governments in their neighborhood, since such governments run counter to them, usurping more foreign land for oil, power, and enforcing dictatorship.